It's often very hard for hockey players to understand why they have the abilities, but they're not able to actually use their abilities in a game the way they want to. So you make plays in practice, but when it gets to the game, you don't actually execute the way that you know you can. Your skills never really come out properly. You might even have the label as a practice player. Then you hear from your coaches, oh, you just need to work on your hockey IQ. You just need to up your compete level. Well, then the question becomes, what do I actually do with that? So to simplify hockey IQ down, it's really just improving your decision making. For example, a good decision for a shooter sniper is different than a good decision for a defensive forward or a two-way forward. And we've covered this in detail in the last four blogs, so you can go check them out. You have the Art of Hockey IQ, how to get off the fourth line without working hard and the levels of thinking, how to increase your chances of being scouted, and then the 14 archetypes and the new updated version of that. So even though we covered a lot in these blogs, there is a deeper way to understand your decision making that is going to make a massive difference for you. And I call it mental software. It's all mental software. So last week when we talked about the 14 archetypes, the key was to understand that there's really 14 types of styles of play that we've identified in hockey. Now, there's a lot of sub styles or sub buckets that you could put different styles into, but really we think that there's 14 core ones. So if you want to go check that out, just go to the last podcast, YouTube video, or blog and check that out. But the key to understanding an archetype is to understand that it is a set of decisions that a player makes consistently. These decisions become automated habits over time, or instincts. And the way we would define an instinct is a pattern or behavior a player does without conscious thought in response to a certain stimuli. So what that basically means is that an instinct is something that automatically happens without you being able to consciously think about it before it happens. And so when we notice a pattern of instincts or automatic habits forming, then what we would call this is a preference. Now, this is not what the clinical term is or the technical scientific term, but this is the term that we are using to describe the way a set of instincts can be described in hockey. And this is specific to the hybrid development system that we're developing with Identity Shift. So the way we define a preference is an action or an instinct a player tends to do or execute when faced with similar conditions or options on the ice or in a game or in any situation. For example, a player is constantly shooting instead of passing on to him. That means he has a shooting preference. And more specifically, this is a software that player has of a shooting preference software. So therefore, when a player has a preference and they tend to make a certain type of decision, you could easily say that that person's software is that type of preference. And just like a computer has applications that are like a software or that are a software, we can start to understand that just like a computer runs certain applications at certain times when we press them or they run automatically, we have these same things in our mind and we can change them. So a preference is like an application and we can choose to delete it or install new ones or really do whatever we want with them. We just have to learn how to do it. So basically, if you prefer to shoot over pass in the same type of situation consistently, therefore that's what you tend to do. And that means that is your mental software, that is your preference software. So a great way to look at this is if you have 100 two-on-ones over the course of a season with similar conditions and you pass over 60 out of 100, that means that you have a pass preference. If you do somewhere in between where you shoot anywhere between basically 40 and 60% of the time, then I would lean towards you don't really have a preference, you are more of a balanced player in that situation, you have a balanced preference. And then if you shot 60% or more, then I would say that you have a shot preference. See, this is your mental software. The actions you take when you measure them actually show you what your software has been up until that point. So a great way to actually measure what your current software is, simply just look at the last 20 times you were in a certain situation in the game with similar variables. So you want to make sure that the variables aren't like significantly different. For example, if you're on a two-on-one, but in some of them, you have a ton of back pressure, and some of them, you have no back pressure, and some of them, you're on the left side, some of them, you're on the right side. Well, then that's not very helpful to really determine what is the preference you have, because there's so many other things that are coming into play, so many other variables, if we're thinking about this from a scientific terminology perspective. Sorry to get into the technical details, but that's just a way of thinking about the language. So what you want to do is when you have those 20 different situations, that are similar in the sense of they have similar variables, then note down the decision you made in that situation. So for example, did you shoot? Did you pass? Did you deke? Or did you do something else? And then once you put those all into a bucket, you can actually determine what were my tendencies in those situations. And like it or not, that is what your preference software currently is. And it's most likely what you're going to do in the next time you're in that situation. So I know you are now asking, well, how do I change or reprogram my mental software if I don't like it? Don't worry, we will get there. We're headed towards that direction, but I wanted to set this up and explain this stuff all in detail first. So let's talk about the software of archetypes. So just like each player has their own unique fingerprint, we believe that each player has their own preference software and really their own overall mental software. But the difference between someone's fingerprint and their preference software is that they have the ability to reprogram their preference software, where a fingerprint, you can't actually change it. Once you have it, you have it. And when you combined all your mental software together, this is your hockey identity. And a better way to say this is your unique hockey identity, because no one has exactly the same hockey identity. No player has the exact abilities you have. No player has the exact software you have. Everything is different in some way. You're going to have similarities with certain players, and you may get bucketed in with similar players when it comes to archetypes, for example. But that's what it really comes down to, is that you are a unique player at the end of the day. And it's about expressing that in your own unique way that allows you to be able to actually separate yourself from other people over time. Just like in business, you have to come into a market and actually do something different, provide a different solution in some way. It has to be unique, or else if you're the same as everyone else, people won't pick you. They'll just go to the most trusted person or business before. And if you want to learn how to actually upgrade your mental software, you can do the free training, which the link will be below this, or you can also check out any of the other programs we have where we teach you how to do this in depth so that you can get to the next level. Though each player is unique, there is still some structure we want to consider when it comes to your mental software. And that's where archetypes come in. So at the end of the day, an archetype is really the style you play. And style comes from the habits that you have on the ice. And really, habits are just decisions you're making consistently. So you can think of decisions as mental software or decision software. And making better decisions or having better decision software comes down to four core things. First, you have to notice the pattern. So whatever the pattern is that's occurring, you have to actually notice there is a pattern that you have seen before occurring in this moment. Then you have to anticipate where that pattern is about to go. So you have to basically say, this is what's about to happen based on what the pattern has been. Then you have to have a clear vision of what you want to happen in order to get what you want out of the situation. And then you have to make the most efficient decision based on the vision you have for this situation. And you want to base this on the resources you have, the abilities you have, where your teammates are, where the opponents are, where you are on the ice, where the flow of the game is, the time in the game, really the context that you're making that decision within. Because if you're making a decision in the offensive zone, and let's say it's on the blue line, if it's the end of a game and the other team has everybody low in their zone, you may take a risk and jump in and take a higher risk play in order to intercept maybe a pass up the wall, because there is an opportunity to basically win that without much of a risk because there's no one else coming in on the rush over the blue line. But there is a huge risk if you do step in and it's the beginning of the game, there's tons of time, you take a big risk and the other team has a bunch of players already behind you and now they're going to be on a 2-on-1 if the puck kicks by you. You see how all of that stuff is understanding what the pattern is actually happening, then anticipating where it's going to go, then having a clear vision, and then understanding the different contexts that you're basically put in, and then making the most effective decision within those contexts. So really, the best players in the world have the best mental software because they are able to do this four-step process very, very effectively. That is why I think every player should focus on upgrading their mental software at the same time that they're upgrading their hardware. And what I mean by hardware is your physical body, your skill set that you're developing, and really just your overall physical capacity. Because most people focus so much on the hardware and their body and their skills that they ignore the software and all of the things that allow them to use those skills. It's like having an amazing car, but then having an absolutely horrible driver and expecting that that car is still going to win a race. If everybody else has great cars too, then the driver is going to be the one that makes the difference. So the mental software is the thing that's going to make the difference for you and your career if you have the abilities. Again, mental software is really what tells the hardware or the body what to do. So you need to upgrade the mental software because that's what's telling you what to do. Now, circling back into the archetype and the idea of mental software within an archetype, it's my belief that when we look at a player, you want to think of how much they are like each archetype. So instead of thinking I am just one archetype and that's it, instead you want to think I am a mixture of rating scale in all different directions of each of the archetypes. So what it means is that you can be a 10 out of 10 on playmaking and a 5 out of 10 on two-way play and a 3 out of 10 power forward and a 10 out of 10 shooter sniper. And what it means is that the better you are at those archetypes, the more likely you are to be able to step into those roles on a team and play them effectively. So if you have a really high ability to play a certain archetype, you're most likely to be asked to play that in your role on your team. And if you're very high in many different archetypes, it means that you're very versatile as a player. So your software essentially determines your versatility once you have the physical abilities to make the plays you want to make, skate the way you want to skate. So if you get put into a role that you don't have the software for, but you do have the abilities for, you're kind of just hoping and kind of praying that it works out. But if you have the mental software, you make the type of decisions you want to make, and those are programmed in, then you're going to step into those situations and be super comfortable. Oftentimes, players have the abilities to play most roles on a team, like having a great shot, for example, but don't have the mental software to create the shots, to be in the right places, to time things effectively, to actually be a shooter sniper, for example. And see, this is where the mental software becomes very important for my training and what I do with players, because when we hop on a Zoom call and watch their film, we are looking at things from the perspective of what is your current archetype and what are you trying to play like? What is the preference software you currently have and how are we trying to reshape it? And what is your team's expectation or what is your role? And again, how does everything we're building with your archetype and your mental software align with what your team needs? What role do they need you to play? So really what we're trying to do is work towards completeness and versatility when we're thinking about how to improve our mental software and our abilities when we train and when we work on our skills. So really the idea of the chart that I show, which is a circle, and then it has basically all the different archetypes all around it, and then you have a ranking, how close, like out 0 out of 10, 0 in the middle, 10 on the outside, how much you are like each archetype. And the goal is you're trying to expand those over time. You're trying to get basically a more completeness to your game, which means you're more versatile, which means you can play more roles, which means you can stretch the label out, which is something that Daryl Belfry talks a lot about. And so I have the video that he made 15 years ago talking about knowing your role, stretching your label. And it's so important to understand this because you have to be aware of what it takes to actually get to higher lines, to get more expanded roles on your team. So as you expand your abilities and as you improve on your mental software and expand your mental software to handle more roles, then you develop versatility. When you develop versatility, you expand the label that player, that coaches or scouts are going to put on you. And when a player moves up to a higher level, it's common that a player has to handle a smaller role, but then has to demonstrate that they have the abilities and the mental software to handle more advanced roles and thus stretch their label so they can earn more opportunities. Pretty much what happens when any player goes to a new team is that they get a role, then they have to basically expand their versatility, improve their mental software, they earn trust, and then they expand on their role and really stretch their label, which means their role expands, right? Because the label is really what people see is possible for you. So now they start to say, oh, he can do more. He has more available in his tool set. Boom, now you get a bigger role. Then you stretch the label a little more by doing a little more. And you start to find that by changing the way you make decisions on the ice, you slowly get more opportunities. And I found this to be the case for me as I moved up levels when I went from AAA into Junior B, into Junior A, and then into college. You start to notice that these adjustments have to happen. And you watch this anytime you study great players. It's really important to understand that you are not going to play the same role for the rest of your career. It's very, very unlikely. For example, for a player who's moving up from the AHL to the NHL, you will likely move from being a more offensive player in the AHL to having to be able to handle the defensive responsibilities in the NHL. This isn't always the case, but it is very common. So if a player has not expanded his identity or expanded his label or really expanded his mental software, to handle the changing roles, and he's not going to survive very long in the NHL, even though he has NHL abilities. So that's why being a complete player is so important, not because you have to be perfect in all areas and be able to play every archetype perfectly, but you have to be ready to be able to shift into different roles in order to be able to earn trust, expand your label, and then earn more and more important roles higher up in the team hierarchy. Now, the thing to be careful with here is you do not want to get into the trap of trying to be good at everything all at once. That's a very important point to really highlight. And this is what most players come to me and say, and this is what happens with most of the players I work with, is I have to shift them out of the mindset of just working on everything. The key nuance is that you want to master an archetype or master the role that you're currently in as much as you possibly can, but also be training in preparation for what's possible in the next roles and the next archetype or style you want to play. And I believe this can be done, and I've seen this happen with multiple players that I've worked with, helping them actually understand how to make a shift in their identity, how they see themselves changing their mental software, and also changing their skill set and their physical ability so that they could handle more expanded roles. I've done this with players where they go from being more of a defensive, safe defenseman to changing the mental software, expanding their offensive abilities, and then being able to be an offensive threat all the time from the back. And then also with forwards, helping players understand how to make a shift from league to league, whether it's going from the NCDC to the BCHL or BCHL to the NHL, or going from Junior A up into the Division III, or going into Division I, or pro players moving from different leagues. What I'm really teaching these players and helping them understand, and sometimes even just reminding them, is you need to know your role, number one. Then you need to master your role. Then you need to expand your label and show that you have other tools and other abilities in the tool set. Then you're going to earn an increased role by being successful as you expand that label. With that increased role, you just continue to master it, expand, master it, expand, until you're eventually at the top of your team, at the top of your league, and then move up. That's the idea. That's the ideal goal you want to try to focus on. But most players make the mistake of trying to jump the gun and get really good at too many roles at once. They try to go from being a defensive defenseman all the way up into being a shooting defenseman right away without doing anything in between to be able to advance through that. This leads them to not be effective at the role they currently have, which leads their coach not to trust them. And then the player is working on skills to be able to handle a more risky and a role that requires more trust, but they haven't built the trust with that coach in the first place, so the coach doesn't put them in the situation that they're actually training for. So that's the problem, is you're skipping steps and it holds you back. And see, this is what most people do, is that they make the mistake of they do not shift their actual software preferences first, and they simply just work on skills, and then they never know how to actually change the way they play in games, right? And this is where the practice player issue comes into play. And you see, most coaches just completely ignore the idea of mental software. And mostly they would say, well, you just need to train and fix it. But that's not going to actually make the shift. You need to learn how to program your mind using visualization, mental programming techniques, to actually get your mind to make the decisions you want to make. And yes, some players can do this without actually using these tools, but you don't want to rely on hoping you can do it. You want to be consistently confident. And that's where confidence comes from, is knowing you have the tools to be able to shift and be the type of player you want to be. And see, this is what happens, is when a player is put on a team, they play a role that they don't have the mental software for, then that player is confused because they've spent years developing their current mental software. It can be very confusing, especially for a younger player who is now trying to basically totally adapt his decision-making in his software to play a style that he's never played. And then a coach will label that player as just not very good, when in reality, they have abilities and they just need help to understand how to make that software shift. Then a coach will watch film with that player sometimes and tell them, hey, you can change this decision or change this decision, but they ignore the larger preference software. They don't help a player really understand how to shift the bigger buckets of decision-making in the way that the player makes decisions. They don't help them change the archetype. And then when they're put in situations, they haven't actually programmed their overall preferences. They've just changed the way they make decisions in certain scenarios. And no play is exactly the same. So when we get corrected on a single play, we're never going to be in that exactly the same situation again. There's always going to be something different about the situation. And that's why we need to change the preferences first and do the more meta or macro first, and then we can work on the micro after and use those as feedback to change the macro, then work on the micro situations. And see, this is what happens in team practices, is that a lot of times team practices are just working on specific scenarios, but players need help to learn how to work on the more macro, bigger scenarios, change their preferences, and change them to play the way that they need to currently play in the role they've been currently assigned. And if you don't have a system to do this, it's super, super confusing. So what's the solution? You need to learn how to program your mental software. And in order for a player to actually play with confidence, be able to flow, get into that flow state, be relaxed, play tension-free, a player has to be able to trust their mental software to be able to shut off their conscious mind and just automatically make decisions. They have to be able to trust their instincts. But the problem is that most players haven't trained their instincts effectively, so they don't have any confidence in the decisions they're making. See, most players do the physical work, so they work out in the gym, then they spend the off season maybe doing some skating, stick handling, shooting, just doing random stuff, but never actually programming the software to make the types of decisions they want to make. And this is a big mistake, because when they get into the season, they're just relying on random abilities instead of actually consistent software that is having them play the way they want to play. So here is how I actually teach players to change their mental software and how they can actually change their game and stop being a practice player, how they can become a game performer. So step one, you need to build deep confidence in yourself. And this means you need to become deeply aware of, number one, your negative emotional software that's holding you back. Number two, your negative belief software. So the beliefs you have about the world that are causing you to see the world in a negative way. Your negative thought software, or as a lot of mental coaches say, self-talk, that's currently holding you back and having you not believe in yourself in a situation. Then you need to learn to program your mind to make certain decisions in certain scenarios on the ice. This means becoming aware of the certain type of archetype you want to play. This means deprogramming, or basically removing the old software, then reprogramming in the new preference software. So you need to remove the old preferences, bring in new preferences. You want to use deep visualization for this. And that visualization is going to help to program your mind to make the specific decisions you want to make and help you actually reprogram your preferences too. So you don't just want to do random visualizations about just random stuff, but you want to actually use it to actually influence your overall preferences. This is going to allow you to build the habits that you want to build. Then you must learn to master your focus and attention so that you can enter the flow state and actually play with the software instead of having your conscious mind get in the way and prevent you from getting into that flow state. Because what happens when we don't get into a flow state is that our mind is trying to consciously think our way through the game. Just like if you try to talk your way through walking, you're going to trip right away because you can't talk yourself through every little muscular detail and every angle of the joint and every single muscle and tendon moving together in this kind of crazy symphony of movement. Instead, we have to trust that we have the ability. We have to trust our internal software to tell our body what to do. And you can only do that if you've programmed it to do the things you want it to do. Then you want to learn how to keep updating the software so that you can keep improving consistently, not just update it once and then you're good to go. Because as you move up levels, as you change archetypes, as different roles come up, you're going to have to adapt and change. Now, there's two ways you can deal with this. So you can go and spend hundreds of hours going and learning all this stuff on your own. You can go read the books. You can watch the YouTube videos. You can watch all this different stuff. And this will work, but it might take your whole career. That's the challenge. So I encourage you, if you want to go do that, 100%, go do that. Go do the research. Spend the time. Learn this stuff yourself. It will work. I promise you, you will learn this stuff. Or if you want to shortcut the process, you can take the hundreds and honestly thousands of hours that I've spent researching this stuff, playing 20 years of hockey, learning how to actually apply this to my game, to hundreds of players' games, building a detailed system, and then testing it out with players in the ECHL currently. We're going to be working with some higher level guys soon enough. College level, junior level, AAA, high school prep, pretty much every level. Pretty much all across North America. And you can learn and apply that system that we've built out. So if you want to choose the second option, feel free to apply to the Next Level Academy. We'll get on a call. We'll talk through it. We'll see if it's the right fit for you, if something else we offer is the right fit. And then we can basically help you to go to where you want to go with your career, help change your mental software and all that stuff. And what the Academy includes is, number one, access to everything that we've built to date, access to coaching calls that we do on a weekly basis, access to the latest tools and techniques that we're building out to improve your game, an awesome community of like-minded players, and a ton more stuff that we're continuing to add to the program and things that I just don't want to get into detail at the end here. And so if you're interested, feel free to join. That's my pitch. And I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you enjoyed this podcast or video or blog, wherever you're checking this out. And I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you guys soon. I'll see you at the next level.